What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Alex Da Silva Podcast. We hope you are well and having an amazing day, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in the world. And welcome to another episode. Remember to like, subscribe, and leave a comment on whatever platform you're listening. Now, let's get on with the show with your host, Alex Da Silva.
What's going on, everyone? I hope you're having an amazing day. Welcome to another episode. And today, I'm very pleased. I've got Niraj with me today. He is the founder of Soma Breath. And I'm actually really interested in having a conversation with Niraj because he has a very interesting story, which I wanna dive into. Niraj, you didn't start with breath work, did you? And welcome to the show, by the way. So good to have you here. How are you?
I'm good. A bit of a crazy weekend this weekend in Ibiza.
Yeah.
An old friend came to visit from 6 years ago. I haven't seen him for a long time. So,
wow.
Still a bit of a raver. So, we had a bit of a epic
Nice.
So the clubs start to open again. So, yeah.
Oh, amazing. So, is that where you're based then?
I live in Spain. I live in Ibiza. Yeah. Oh, I'm actually very civilized. I have a little baby. We have a wife. We're very settled. Live, you know.
Yeah.
We had one night of a full power party.
Fair play. Sometimes it's got to be done, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes it's got to be done. But look, it's
well, my first release came out on a record label, big label.
Yeah.
So it was a bit of a celebration for that.
Oh, wow. Talk to me about that then, because this is the thing that I'm really fascinated about you. You kind of started your journey as a pharmacist. And then, you know, you sort of then transitioned. I mean, it sounds like you've always had a love and passion for music. But talk to me about that journey. Like, how did it start with you? And how did you get into where you are today and sort of discovering Soma and doing such great work?
Well, actually, I started off as a different kind of pharmacist because I used to run these big raves.
Yes.
In the UK for about 3 years, big drum and bass pies. And obviously, there was a lot of things being dispensed at these venues as well. So, So I was a different, slightly different type of pharmacist.
Yeah.
And I was doing really well. Like, we had a great thing going, and then a few bad turn of events, and ended up becoming a pharmacist. So I had to fall back on my degree.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was in the loop, I don't know what to do, like whether I try and fix this event. I had a really successful event and then the club got shut down. And it was a lot of work to move it around and there's a lot of dodgy energy around it. You know, everyone wants a piece. Or finish my finals. My mum and dad, like very strict Indian parents, were like, no, you have to finish your education. So, so I did that and then I got stuck in this whole rut. 7 years as a community pharmacist, where I really got a taste of my own medicine. So yeah, that's where I realized actually the biggest, you know, drug dealers, obviously the pharmaceutical industry, and there's a lot of harm because of that.
Yeah,
because of the amount of pills people are popping every day.
Yeah,
I see people going away with shopping bags full of drugs.
Yeah,
so just because they're prescription drugs and given out by qualified people, it doesn't mean that they're safe or anything. So
yeah,
I really saw a lot of problems in the healthcare system and I tried really hard to get out of it myself, like did lots of things on the side, but I kept getting it pushed into this alternative healing world, because firstly I learned how to get people off the drugs by changing their lifestyles and diets. And so I started to write in the pharmacy little prescriptions called healthy shopping lists. Pharmacists would go and patients would take the shopping list, go over to the supermarket, buy like healthy food. Like a lot of people didn't even know how to cook their own food. It was incredible the amount of people who live on just ready meals and processed foods. So those who actually took my advice did really well. They got off quite a lot of medications just by switching their diet from a factory diet to a no factory diet. And then I was like, okay, there's something to this. This works. And I was actually doing this a lot for myself as well. I was pretty burnt out. You know, it's a great, the UK is a very bad culture.
Yeah.
It's not a healthy culture. Like, you know, most of people's recreational time, well, especially in my generation, was spent getting wasted. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
Down
I'm with you
exercise.
there. Yeah.
So it's not a great culture at all. Like,
Yeah.
it shouldn't be an example for the world at all
No.
about it. So I was having a breakdown, so I needed to sort myself out, and that, the change of lifestyle was helping. I got promoted to the head office of one of the biggest supermarket chains in the UK, and I was going to roll out a big project with them, a healthy shopping list service. So it's to take my method of shopping lists, because that's an easy thing that everyone can understand, into a website version with home shopping. And it looked like it was going to go ahead. It was an amazing opportunity. And then 6 months into it, boom, they shelved the idea. And the middle management pretty much run everything in the world, right? It's not the directors right at the top. It's not the minions at the bottom. It's the middle management, the bureaucracy, the red tape, the pen pushers. They're the ones, they're the real deep state that runs the world, to be honest. So they put a bottleneck on the whole plan, and then it didn't happen. And I just lost all my faith in humanity. It was like a real push trying to get this project out. It was way too controversial, probably, for a big mainstream company like that, telling people not to drink Coca-Cola. If they have diabetes, to me, that's common sense, but to them, it's no. So in the end, I actually got sick myself with I got extremely stressed, disillusioned, and I ended up with an autoimmune disease myself. So now I'm like shitting blood 40 times a day, and I'm housebound. I can't go out because you're just spending most of the time on the toilet. I lost like a third of my body weight. I got something called ulcerative colitis. And this was the big transformation that happened to me, because it was going through that where I really figured out what it means to be healthy and happy and how to get it. Because I got two choices: either have my colon removed or be a guinea pig for a drug that hasn't been tested. And luckily I took a bold choice, the third one, where a now very, very good friend of our family, she is a yoga teacher in the UK, Swami Ambikananda. She said, "Look, you got a gift. If you can turn this disease around, or you'll be an amazing role model to other people, because it affects a lot of people." So she said, like, "Look, I'll teach you a few things." I had to give it a go. I didn't have any other choice, and boom, it all worked out. So it was just, firstly, it was just learning simple breathing techniques. That was the catalyst for the full recovery. Now everyone's case is going to be different. Like, just because I got better like that, it doesn't mean it works for everybody. But there's different extremes of, like, seriousness of a condition, but how debilitating it is, right?
Of
And
course.
how easy it's to fix. So if it's a gut related thing, because the gut cells, they, because I that was what I had, they replenish very fast. They regenerate really quickly, which means you can fix it quicker, right, than a lot of other issues where the damage is more long term. Do you know what I mean? So that's why, usually for most people, the gut's the thing that gets affected first, right? It's the most sensitive thing in the body. So if you're drinking shitloads of booze, if you're very stressed out, you're pumping out loads of adrenaline, eating processed foods and stuff, you're most likely to get some kind of gut issue, and then that will then be the trigger for worse things later on. So that's why, like, on the symptom checklist, if you start getting problems with your gut, like, serious heartburn or very bad constipation, they're the first signs of stress that's kicked in, that you need to fix your lifestyle and restore balance. So what I'm all about is helping people before they get to the stage I was at.
And what a way to do it as well, because we're seeing more and more, and I'm sure you're seeing more and more now, not just in the UK, probably not just Spain, but globally. It's scary how obesity alone, has it's like a plague. When we're looking at this, it's really scary. And the worst of it now, it's now affecting children.
Yeah.
It's now affecting children. And I think this is where we need to be extremely mindful. You talked about the gut, and you talked about your lifestyle. I relate to both. I'm in recovery for addiction. So,
Great.
I'll be 8 years this year.
Yeah.
So I was in that same scene. I was doing all of those things. I was drinking, I
Really?
was using. Oh yeah, I was drinking, I was using, I was partying. I've had overdoses. I've
Wow.
snorted my body waste, in cocaine. I don't advise to people, which is why I do this now. I tell people, stay away from this stuff. Because
Definitely.
I think, as you said, these things, this is not what the body is designed to do, But what I do believe is that people like yourself, go through these journeys in order to share an experience that can lead to help others, not just from what you've experienced, but I think it starts to trigger an interest, like a penny drop, just that little ripple effect in people that, if they say, do you know what? Actually, I used to suffer with my gut, still do. There are certain things, certain foods that I can't eat. So I've had to be very strict, with my nutrition. One, because I want to live longer, but two, I understand now, the gut's the engine. The gut's the engine of the body. You've got to be able to look after that engine if you want to,
Yes.
to operate on a day-to-day basis, and not just from a functional perspective, but let's talk about it from an emotional perspective as well, right? Because we are in mind, body, spirit complex.
Yeah.
And what are the things I liked that you touched on, which I'd love to kind of dive deeper into a little bit, is you said how you shifted from being a pharmacist, as you said, with a lot of it now, I think a lot of people are seeing a lot of the GPs and pharmacists, they're just licensed drug dealers, and it's such a shame that there aren't more people like you still in the industry. Do you know what I mean? I know that there are, and I've met some, but unfortunately, even as you said, when you went into the corporate world and you were working with, this corporate business, that the number one concern wasn't people's health, it was the profit margins. Well, if people stop eating this is what really sells. If people stop eating this, then it's going to affect our profit margins.
Yeah.
And it's such, and this is the main, this is why we are now 70% of the global population are obese, and children are now being affected by it as well, because it becomes a transgenerational trauma. The parents pass it down to the children, your children pass it on to the next generation, and it goes on and goes on. What can people start to do? You talked about this shopping list, and you said as well, you touched on about people not even knowing how to cook, which blows my mind, especially now with the
Yep.
age of technology. You can literally pick up a phone, go to YouTube or Google, and you can learn anything,
Yeah, you
everything.
could back then as well. Back in
Yeah.
when was I doing this? 2009. Like
Yeah.
you had YouTube. There was loads of people making recipe videos. So that's what I used to do.
Yeah.
I used to just link them to YouTube videos
Yeah.
and little websites.
Yeah. And
Super simple.
what do you think the problem is, in society? Do you think it's conditioning? Do you think it's, as people say, propaganda? Do you think it's, there's more to it?
You are as good as your thoughts, right? And where do thoughts come from? They come from years of conditioning and programming, right? Oh, sorry, hold on. Sorry about this.
No worries.
Somebody ringing me right now. You're gonna edit this, right? So,
Yeah, I can edit.
yeah. So they come from it comes from years and years and years of conditioning and programming. That's where your thoughts come from, right? And also, there's some other metaphysical layers of thought as well. But ultimately, most people's hardwired programs and habits are programmed into them by their parents, their mum, dad, then their little community that they grow up in. Then you've got the TV, media, advertising programming you from pretty much from birth to be a certain person, to be a certain way. That is a consumer that gets sick and keeps buying shit even if they're in debt, right? And gets into debt and then gets depressed. So they end up on other pills for that. So this, unfortunately, is what makes money, a lot of money for corporations, right? In this system that we've got today, this consumer culture, unfortunately, you being sick, broke, majority of people, like it has to be like a pyramid for it to work, and that's how it is. That's why the world's the way it is. You need to be a certain way for the system to survive, to flourish, and those people at the top to become richer and richer and richer, and the masses to be more and more controllable and programmable. That's just how it's always been. Right? There's been maybe a few times in history where it was a bit more enlightened, but majority of the world that we know it are historic. If you think about it, if you just go back to history lessons at school, like it was pretty tragic the way people used to live back then with the kings and the royalty and taxing everybody. And so unfortunately, just human nature, survival, right? In the last, like, say, 1,000 years or so, has, in my opinion, started to devolve, right, more and more into kind of this chaos of lack of ignorance, like basically ignorance, lack of information, the right information. Because traditionally, if you go back thousands of years, like if you go back to the times of the rishis with Ayurveda, Rig Veda yoga, Tantric yoga, there were these great works of literature that was all documented. Actually, originally these texts weren't written, they were spoken. Everything was done through songs and hymns, right? And knowledge was passed down, and this was essential knowledge on how to thrive, not just survive. So down to the kind of food you eat, exercise, breathing, everything. There was a code for everything. And this is what we call tantra, okay? Even down to how you make love and basically it was this ultimate personal development school, the whole school of tantra, that got over time mystified and broken down and split apart. But then there was a period where, when the royalty started to establish itself, where only that kind of information was accessible to the warriors, the army, and the royalty, right? In fact, in India, you have Raja Yoga, which is the royal road of yoga. It's only ever taught to kings, royalty, aristocracy, and warriors, right? Also, another thing that happened in India, right, was when Buddhism came about. What happened was the whole country shifted to some dogmatic beliefs. One, that beef is, you shouldn't eat it, it's a sin, and cows are holy, more holy than humans. When at the same time, the kings, the warriors, and all the royalty were all eating meat, right? Even the priests were all eating, the Brahmin priests. So there's a lot of confusion about what is actually the truth, right? Like there's like one rule for one class of people, or another for another. And this is what I started to sense in the corporation, was that there's a information cage. Right, only a certain amount of people are allowed to access certain information. If you just go to school, right? I went to both comprehensive school in UK and then a pro like a grammar school. I got into, I passed some exams and went to it. And there was a huge difference in terms of what you're taught in comprehensive school versus a grammar school. So when I go into the grammar school, I was like dumb compared to all the kids. Like I was like super catching up. It was super stressful. I'm suddenly around people like who know way more than me in very many different subjects. So I had been dumbed down. So we can see this just in the educational system, the class system, right? So that's how society has been developed. And so that also means that this vital information, the stuff that I share, like breath work and all of that, has also been conveniently taken out of the curriculums of the people that really should be teaching it the most, which is the doctors, the pharmacists, the dentists, the healthcare professionals, right? The nurses. Like if they had more education on prevention, okay, we could save so many problems in the UK. Now just think about the whole COVID situation, right? Anyone who gave any truth in that moment was censored, shut down, lost their YouTube channels, or they were struck off the register. That was like the worst case. That happened to a few doctors in the UK. So clearly, that was obvious. If anyone hasn't woken up yet, like you're a complete moron if you haven't. There was a mass censorship of the truth. So obviously, some people were privy to what the truth was, and they probably didn't follow the rules and were privileged enough to not have to follow the rules. But the masses of people had to stick into line, get into line, get jabbed without any proof of this thing actually working, and so on, right? So there's like, this is what's going on. There is an information filter system for the mainstream, for the masses. And you know, there's even this legend of Prometheus, right? Prometheus was the god. He was like, no, all human beings should be like God, right? So Prometheus was a rebel. He was like, no, it shouldn't be just knowledge for the gods. It should be all humans. All humans should have this. And then he got kind of kicked out for that. He was a renegade, right? So this is the situation we're in right now, is that there's not as many Prometheuses as there used to be. There were a few renegades back in the day, but now, but there is a shift happening for sure now. For sure, there is. In the alternative world, you have the Joe Rogans, you have the Alex Joneses, you have the David Icke, you have the classics, right? But in the mainstream world, slowly we're starting to see some like renegades coming out of it, the ones who are whistleblowing, speaking out, who are actually telling the truth for a change, right? And that's when it's going to get really interesting.
And what
When more of that starts happening.
Absolutely. And I think I truly believe that it's going to, well, it's already happening. It's not like it's going to, it's already happening, isn't it?
Well,
And
the
we're
Messiah is
seeing
the
it.
internet. The Messiah, the internet is Terence McKenna, one of my favorite speakers from
I
back
love him.
in the day. He said like that, look, we have the Messiah. The Messiah came to us already. It's the internet, right? And it depends on how you use it, but think about now the access of information, and think about how hard it is to control that information now. You know? Like even during COVID, they tried to censor the shit out of YouTube, right? But so many other platforms popped up. A Rumble popped up, right? And they took a lot of the market share, which really scared them, right? YouTube. So they had to shift their rules. So yeah, the internet is the potential freedom that we have. Because with the internet comes then decentralized systems. We have the potential for digital currencies like that are centralized and all that,
Oh
which is
yeah,
a
Bitcoin, Ethereum,
complete rebellion to this kind of top-down control system, information that is suppressing people from being healthy and happy.
And it's really interesting that you touched on about Prometheus and the knowledge that was shared before. And what I really liked, which is something for me, I've been trying to tell this to people, especially in I grew up in Brazil, so I've always eaten meat. That's never been a problem for me. I attempted veganism for 4 years. I wanted to try and fix
Happened.
my stomach. Unfortunately, it didn't do me too good.
Yeah, me too.
The
I got
short
really
term,
sick off it.
yeah, same. And I enjoyed, don't get me wrong, like I still, if somebody's cooking vegan food, I'll still eat it. There's some really nice stuff. But I've realized for me where I found the my optimum health has been carnivore, but not just strict with just pure meat. It's meat, eggs, raw milk, raw dairy, raw honey, and fruits. And I eat some veggies.
So you've gone fully into the carnival. Nice.
And
How do
honestly,
you feel?
Oh, I feel incredible, especially with
Yeah.
what's going on at the moment with me
Yeah.
rebuilding, with the call to requiner. Incredible.
Because you
Absolutely
see in
incredible.
the original food pyramid, and this is why everything was wrong when I was a pharmacist and why everyone was getting sick, is most people were living on bread and refined sugars, high fructose corn syrups, Coca-Cola, basically fizzy drink. I did an infographic on Coca-Cola that went super viral. It was considered one of the most viral infographics of all time
Oh,
years ago.
wow.
Yeah, that's what blew us up as a renegade pharmacist. But yeah, so that was detailing everything that I observed in the pharmacy of people obsessed with sugary foods, right? And carbohydrate rich foods. So the whole food pyramid was upside down. There's a reason why, because the people who funded that at that time were all
Course.
the wheat growers and the corn, the agricultural. So there's a lot of money in that. It's like huge. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't eat bread or eat corn at all. Like some people thrive off that. And actually, I feel there's two different types of people. You could put people into two different types of people. There's the wolves who can't go without meat. They'll lose their shit if they go without meat. And then there's the rabbits. There's people who just don't, they will never eat meat. They're like rabbits. And there is like my wife, she lives off, she's more like a rabbit than a wolf. I'm more like a wolf.
Same.
It's a different chemistry of the way we digest food, like the fire in the belly, and the Ayurvedic system is, in my opinion, the best. And this is what should be taught. All the doctors should know this, which is there's no one size fits all,
No.
but actually we're one of seven different profile types. And from that, you can figure out it's based on your energy type, or your right kind of food for you, lifestyle. I think you're pretty similar to me, like a Vata Pitta combination, which means you've got a lot of digestive fire. But if you don't eat regularly, you probably have a fast metabolism, right?
I've been doing some fasting, which has actually helped me as well. That's something which I was looking into. I started a few years ago studying nutrition. Wanted to find out more about nutrition, wanted to help people, started doing it for me, to be honest. Exactly the same thing as you read. When I was looking at the food pyramid and I'm starting to look at all this stuff, I'm going, something inside me was telling me, this doesn't make sense. This is wrong. Like, this is not how we're supposed to be eating. And I've had my father, or I've had friends, who have kind of just come and asked for some advice where, they're telling people high fiber diet, you need to, and I'm like, you shouldn't really, you should get some in your diet, but you need to be balanced in the things that you're eating, and one of the things I've discovered, in some of my spiritual journeys, let's say, was that I asked about, my own gut health and my own health, how can I keep healing? How can I release this energy? How can I continue growing? And one of the messages that came to me, some of my guides have a sense of humor, and they said, think about your human form. And I was like, okay, so it's bone, muscle, fat, and water. I was like, okay, well, that's kind of primarily composition, the sort of the immediate. And I'm like, okay, follow that, and just start to see how that then reacts to you, see how you feel. And honestly, within weeks, stomach healed, just felt
Amazing.
absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. But like, as you said, I know people who are vegan, who do well off of it. I'm a bit of a skeptic because how I see things is, if you're having to supplement something that you're not getting from your diet, then are you really eating a full, a fully balanced diet? Because
Because the vegans have to take a lot of different supplements to get nutrition. That's true. Now,
and
here's the thing though, it depends on if you want to be a super yogi or not, right? So a super yogi will have a very different way of eating versus a hard working somebody who's like, 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day working in an office or in a construction factory or something. Like, because This comes down to the breath. So super yogis who have super endurance, they have like crazy stamina and abilities to do kind of magic even, right? Now, and that can be trained. Everyone can get to this point. It's to do with their breathing rates and how efficient they are using oxygen. Okay, so the super efficient yogis, okay, who hardly need to breathe, they can hold their breath for minutes and minutes and minutes, right? And that is a sign that they're really efficient using oxygen. They hardly need to breathe to make the same amount of energy. And it's actually breathing ultimately that makes us age. Oxygen burns fuel in your mitochondria, it produces energy with through a process of like a combustion, similar to your car. And that causes wear and tear called oxidative stress. So just breathing makes you age. So yogis go on breathing diets. They fast on breathing. They spend periods of the day where they're hardly breathing at all. Right? This is what I do myself. And what that does is also it prevents oxidative stress. But if you become really efficient using oxygen, you have more red blood cells, you have better cardiovascular strength, proliferation of blood vessels around the body. You have better blood flow in your heart, your brain, your organs. So you generally will extend your life. And in yoga, you live long. You count your life, right, in breaths, not heartbeats or years. The amount of breaths you take, or more accurately, your breathing volume per minute. The less volume of air you need per minute, the longer you live. Now, why this relates to food, okay, is that consumption of anything, right? So whether it's drink or food, requires processing. It requires energy. Now, the more energy required to consume the food, right, the more deeper your breath becomes. The deeper your breath becomes means you start to breathe larger volume of air per minute, which then affects your oxidative stress and all that, right? So what yogis do is they actually eat very little for a start. They don't need to eat so much food because they get a lot of energy from just the prana, right? But they won't be vegan. That's a fallacy. No, you'll never find a vegan super yogi, right? They will eat more of a vegetarian diet. So they'll have like yogurts, ghee. Ghee is like the staple.
He's lovely.
Yeah. And they'll have like certain types of like vegetables, like curry in a form of curry, right? But not like large quantities. They might even have a bit of chapati, like roti and stuff, right? But generally quite a simple, plain diet, nothing spicy that will affect their metabolism, that make them overbreathe or anything like that. Pretty bland diet, but very easy to digest food, right? Super easy to digest. And they get a lot of the energy fuel from ghee and yogurt, right? And they get a lot of probiotics from that. So that's the super endurance yogis. Now there's other categories of them. There's also the tantrics. So the Aghori Babas, right? They will live on a lot of different types of food, especially raw meats and monkey brains and human flesh and
Interesting.
babies. I'm not even kidding. They're crazy. Like in India, they're like they exist. So they do all the black magic rituals. Politicians hire them to put curses on their competition. And look them up, Aghori Babas. They're
Aghori
massive.
Babas.
And they have supernatural power. They have incredible human strength. They drink blood and they live off blood and human flesh. They sleep with corpses and super weird
That's
peeps.
insane.
But very, very high level, like yogis. They're like the most, probably the most highest level. Because their belief system's almost like you acquire God status, you reach God through getting rid of all your karma in one go on the planet. The more you get rid of all your karma, the easier it is to transcend this planet. And in the process of that, you acquire supernatural powers, right? So that's a very,
Yeah.
to concise version of what they do,
Yeah,
but
makes
they
complete
exist.
sense.
Tantric yoga, yeah. So then there's the other side of tantric yoga, which is where I'm more into, which is the use of this the body, the soma, understanding how the body works, really understanding as much about the nature of reality as possible, and using that more functionally. So like you can exist in this day and age. I don't want to go and sleep with corpses, right? But I want to play in a club. I want to DJ. I want to rock the world, right? But that requires strength. It requires determination, concentration, skill to go deep on one thing, and energy and stamina to go. So tantric yoga is a whole science of really understanding who you truly are, and supercharging yourself with that drive, energy, power. Understanding the whole code of how the body works, the breath, different breathing techniques to extend your breathing so you have more stamina, you live longer, you better quality of life. But it's not as extreme as like a tantric. But the reason I'm saying this is because the diets will be slightly modulated. So like a super endurance yogi will eat very little, mostly bland food, right? But they're not using much physical labor. They're not like out on the streets, like working, right? But someone like me, I'm doing a lot more activity. I'm doing a lot. So I'll have more diet, but more food in my diet. But what I've learned though, there's a reason why tantrics only eat raw meat. Okay. And this is what I'm long way of coming around to.
I know it's great.
Because the more processed or more cooked something is, it becomes harder for the body to digest, right? So one of the reasons why yogis only eat mostly a lot of fruit, right? They live almost primarily on fruit diets, right? These super endurance yogis, is because fruit doesn't have, firstly, complex proteins in it. It's mostly amino acids, okay? So they're very easy to break down, digest, and build into proteins. So what does your body need? Your body actually needs protein. The body primarily needs protein from amino acids. Okay. So if you now proteins are quite solid structures, they're quite big molecules. If you consume protein-rich food, right, what you're doing is you are trying to build a house, right? By breaking down a house first to rebuild that house. Does that make sense? So you're eating a protein, your body now has to smash down a house into its parts for you then to be able to build the house back up again. So that takes a lot more energy to do. Does that make sense? All right. But if you just give your body amino acids, it's already in the basic building blocks. Then it's much less energy required to produce the protein. So one of the myths is that you need a lot of protein in your diet. You actually don't. You need amino acids, which you can get from many different sources. Apples have loads of amino acids for a start, right? So we can thrive off amino acid-rich food sources. Even like yogurts are fermented, so they're broken down. So the proteins are broken down a bit, okay?
I
So
eat a
it's
lot
easy
of
to
kefir.
digest.
Yeah, kefir yogurt.
Yeah. It's easy, way easier to digest than milk. So dairy is very rich in protein, very thick proteins, much harder. Your body has to do a lot to break that down and rebuild. And that's why people get a lot of milk protein problems, right? Allergies from dairy. But yogurt is much lower risk for allergies. So the same goes with meat. So if you eat meat and it's very well cooked, right, the body has a lot of effort required to break down that because actually the meat itself has a lot of stuff within it that helps it digest juices and it's full of enzymes and other things. So, and then some people really find it hard to digest meat. As I said, there's rabbits and wolves. So they have an aversion to meat, right? So they wouldn't even go near it because their body's just like, I can't break that down, right? So not everyone has the enzymes. But that's why everyone's unique and individual and different. Okay, so what I recommend is to have meat that is as rare as it possibly can be. you're eating, right? And red meat is actually probably better for you than the white, like chicken and things like that. I'll tell you why. This is something I learned from Mercola. He's in our little circle of doctor friends. So Mercola says that after a long way of going around, if, before he was all about keto diet, right? He switched his mind, right? And this is why I find it quite funny because the doctor experts, they tend to change their mind every 5, 10 years or something, right? And then write a new book about it. But so he was all about the keto diet, like low fat, sorry, high fat, low sugar or no carb diet, right? Now, then he realized that this was a problem. And then it all came back to the fact that there was a study that came out, a long-term study that showed that, and it was a, over a huge population group, that people who consume meat had much higher risk of cardiovascular disease than those who didn't. But the theory, and I think this is probably accurate, and I've gone through a lot of other resources. The reason why people were getting problems with meat is because of the food that the meat would eat and their ability to process the plants that they were consuming, the crops. So if an animal's raised on corn, a lot of corn, what happens? Like, and if their liver doesn't process the food properly, right? Chickens, for example, they will, their fat will be very rich in linoleic acid, which causes heart problems, causes the blocking blocks. So cows are one of the only animals, cows and lamb, who, when they're fed rich source of linoleic acid, convert them to higher, better quality fat, healthier fat, like omega-3s and things like that. So that's why, out of all the meat you could eat, it probably still comes down to beef being the healthiest and ghee being the best source of fat, better than most plant vegetables.
Oh, I agree. And I primarily the two sources of meat that we have is red meat and lamb. That's pretty much what we have, and it's all kind of grass fed. We get it locally from a farmer, and we've got a big freezer in the house, so we just buy the whole lamb, and a decent part of the cow, and have
Well,
enough to, go through everything, even
I
the
was
bone marrow.
totally, I was totally brainwashed against eating beef because I'm Hindu. So it's very much against my religion, right? So when I got sick, okay, what happened? I was actually on the vegan diet and I was getting much worse. I was just eating like raw fruits and things like that. I was getting so bad, super bloated, that then I started to study people who already healed themselves. And they, what kept coming up was bone broth and just beef, just all beef diets. So what? So I did. And then within a few weeks, I was so, and then colostrum. Colostrum was the other thing I found. It's a miracle. It heals the gut. It's the first milk from a cow. It's actually the first milk we consume as babies. Cow's colostrum is the best translation into humans. And it's 1,000 times more potent. It's produces 4 times what calves need. So you only need a little bit. That's why it's not cruelty to deprive. You're not depriving the calf of colostrum in the farms. The farmers are very careful about this. So, and they have no interest in depriving a cow of a calf of colostrum because the calf's worth way more than the supplements. We have a supplement, colostrum supplement. It's very ethically sourced. And I've got, I would say, thousands now of case studies of people who have healed themselves from gut-related issues, from IBS to leaky gut to colitis and Crohn's. So it's amazing. So so what I was trying to say was that for that period, having a lot of beef in my diet fixed me. But I was at a different age than I was in my 30s, right? Now, according to the yogic system, the Ayurvedic system, We go through different stages. So there's a stage, the early part of life, when you're up to about 35, right? Where parts of you are still growing. Actually, really around 25 is where it kind of starts to stop. That's when you need the most good quality proteins, right? And you can actually have more proteins in your diet. You don't have to just have amino acids. Your body will thrive if it has good quality proteins, right? And in the yogic tradition, you do not strive to be a yogi when you're 20, up to that point, because you have four different stages to your life. First stage is you're a student, right? You're growing, you're learning about life, you're trying to figure yourself out. Then the second part is where you become a provider. You might have a family, right? Start giving back, right? And so then the third and fourth stage is when you start to become teachers. And then the last stage is where you're ready to give it all up and move on. And that's when you might aspire to start doing the more advanced yogic techniques. But what happens, what I've seen a lot in this day and age as well, is that you get everyday peeps who suddenly watch a YouTube channel about yoga, and then they suddenly try and become these like monks when they're like 20 years old, and they have so many problems inside. Certainly, they haven't cleansed their desires yet. They're kind of deluded. You'll find this in places like Koh Phangan and in Thailand and Bali, where it's like backpackers who are enlightened, but they're not ready yet. And the same thing goes with diet. So you got to eat at the right stage of your life in the yogic system. So you need less and less protein as you get older, right? So there'll be a point where I already eat a lot less meat than I used to. Like I'm starting to have less in my diet and more amino acid rich foods, more fruits, more easy to digest vegetables, and eating a lot less. Like I eat way less than I used to. All of this I notice big time with how it affects my breathing and my breath holds. So we're all about holding your breath, measuring your breath a whole time in the mornings. Like how long you can hold your breath is a gauge of your health, right? And our techniques train you to increase your breath hold times, right? Through various techniques. This is the measure of your oxygen efficiency. But you'll notice if you have a big meal late at night, the night before, breath hold time in the morning is really affected. If you have constipation, right? This is one of the problems of a lot of types of vegetable carbs and the little cell membranes on a lot of complex carbohydrates from root vegetables, for example, are really hard to digest. They cause constipation, right? And there's certain things that people do that also affects digestion. Like I used to suffer a lot from constipation. Just like irregular lifestyles, like not sleeping properly, having a really late night, and then having a few hours sleep. All of this affects your biorhythms. And then some of the worst things that you'll feel straight away, like if you go off balance, is like constipation. Like when you're constipated, it's really hard to think about anything, right? It's like it really affects your mood, right? So but these are all signs you're off balance. So we use in Soma Breath a system, a checklist of a way to understand your body, like your symptoms, right? Like a pharmacist would. If you went to a pharmacy and you told a pharmacist, "Oh, I've got this symptom," they would give you a little pill. But why not know what each symptom means yourself instead of going to rush for a pill, which all it does is it puts a band-aid on symptoms, is you can take steps to restore balance. That's it. And most things can be fixed by just bringing harmony to your balance. A few rhythmic breaths as well restores balance to your body. So with rhythmic breathing, by living more in a alignment, having a good night's sleep or sleeping properly, and things like that will help you live longer and ha happier. Because most people wait till it's too late. The symptoms get, they ignore the symptoms, and then they eventually go to the pharmacist or a doctor. The doctor gives them a pill. So that takes away some of the pain, and then they ignore the symptom again. And that symptom turns into more symptoms, and it becomes a vicious cycle. But so why not? And this is, all comes back to what we were talking about before. Inform people on a mass scale about basic things about how their body works. And most people can understand it. Like, most people can comprehend this stuff when they're, because I saw in the pharmacy, like, just, you just need simple analogies, like, you know, like we're a car engine. Just, that's it. That's a classic.
What should be for the listeners who are seeking change, you know, who want to heal their bodies, you know, who wants to, you know, they're probably not quite ready, or don't may never be ready to be a super yogi, but they just want to wake up in the morning feeling less stressed, you know, more joyful, feeling healthier in themselves, you know, in mind, body, spirit, just feeling a little bit more connected. Because I think the feedback I often get is people feel disconnected completely. Sometimes they feel disconnected. What are the things that people could do? You know, you've touched on so many incredible things. If we were to kind of just digest that and to package it into something simple, what could be daily practices that people could do that will help them to start to see significant change, not just in a short term, but as you said, there's no point starting to do something and then stop when you're feeling better. How can people continue doing it and seeing long-term results?
So the bottom line, the first step is to have a think about what you really love to do that's fun, right? That doesn't involve things that harm the body. So for a lot of people, and this is why culture is all messed up, a lot of people's culture tells them that to have fun, you're gonna go to a pub, drink loads of shots or drink loads of beers, wake up with a hangover. That's fun for a lot of people. That's most people's existence that I remember anyway. I hope it's changed, but I mean that's what I was familiar with. That was my fun. So if that's your fun, you're gonna break down because your body cannot take that much abuse, and it's then won't be fun. Then after a while, that really won't be fun anymore, right? You'll hate your life. So people need to find something else that they love to do that's fun, that's actually good for them. Okay. And then they need to get back in touch with the senses, the sensorial world. So a lot of people's senses revolves around eating sugar, drinking alcohol, snorting some cocaine, right? It's like all artificially induced. So what you want to do is get back in touch with the body, the soma. So, you know, for me, it's things like dance, right, music. But then there's also like a jacuzzi, there's hot tubs, there's saunas, right? There's gyms, exercise, there's all different types of breathing exercises that gets you naturally high. So what you want to do is get naturally high. Focus on what can get you naturally high, buzzed out. Just that going for a jog for 20 minutes can do that, right? So start to do more of that throughout your day, like a lot, as much as you can throughout the day. If somebody sits down all day long, every 20 minutes, do something that's fun, right? That gets you feeling good again, like changes your state. So that's the number one. If you can do that every day, you will be able to live already much longer, right? Because you're changing your chemistry of the body, you're becoming much more high vibe. You'll start to see the world with more positivity because you're changing the chemistry. You'll have more dopamine in your system, more endorphins, and you'll generally be able to start taking more action. If you start to have fun, that's sustainable, okay? Then it comes down to after that, once you figure that bit out, because to try and change everything in one go is not easy for most people. Then you need to think about your diet, right? So, simple rule. I just have one simple rule, right? Eat what you love, right? Eat absolutely what you love, but make sure it's a no factory diet or a little, as little factory diet as possible. So, anything that comes in a packet with ingredients you can't pronounce, Try and avoid that. Make that like 10% of your life, right? The other 90%, try and make it real food based. You'll make a huge shift. But eat what you love. Like, don't go on a stupid diet where you hate the food, because that's actually going to make you unhealthy, right? Eat what you absolutely love. Okay, there's no rules between meat or vegetables. It's up to you, right? Depends on what you want. But then the next layer on top of that, if you really want to go deep on food, is the Ayurvedic system. So we have a quiz. I can give you a link to it and share it, which will give you a report of your perfect kind of lifestyle suit to your energetic type, your bio-individuality. It's very fascinating. It's very, very logical the way it works it out. It will take too long to explain it, but it's a really cool way to assess the kind of food you should eat, the lifestyle you should lead, even that's the exercise routines you should do, right? Because everyone's a little bit unique and different, right? So there's that. Then actually, very simple things you can do that are fun and gets you high, right, is the breathing techniques. So you know, like there's Wim Hof method. It's really easy to do. That's like a good first step. You like a more meditative, musical experience, like our daily doses, which is one of our techniques, gives you a daily dose of this intermittent hypoxia. It's like a really powerful, deep meditative experience where you're holding your breath, doing rhythmic breathing. It's a bunch of techniques in a sequence. It's really, really powerful, right? I make it like my non-negotiable 20-minute morning routine every morning, right? It's like really tunes you in. And actually, a lot of people now in the world, like peak performers, made it their non-negotiable too. There's a guy called Ben Greenfield. He's like one of the well-known kind of celebrities in the biohacking space, and he's a huge advocate, you know. I just saw there was someone called Pam Gregory, some famous astrologer, who shouted it out and said that this is her daily routine. She does it every day. I was like, wow, that's cool. I didn't know who she was, but apparently she's quite well known. So yeah, so spreading, and there's a reason why, because it's really powerful and it makes you feel really good. So I highly recommend doing that, like things like Wim Hof method, getting to cold water if you're suited to it. Not everyone's suited to really cold. I love the sauna, so you can do that too. But just some kind of practice that gets you naturally high, right? And then start to focus on what you love to do. Do more of that every day, right? Just do that and you'll watch what happens to your life. Eat less, start to eat less, and just start to see what happens. Because if all you did was that, you're going to change your life. It's not that difficult to make a change in your life. You don't need to do a lot. You don't need to know every single biohack. You don't need, it doesn't have to be complicated. Sometimes these experts make things so difficult.
Yeah, that is very true. But this is the issue, and I'd love to get you to just touch on the breathwork element a little bit more, because my concern, and I'd love to get your take on this, like everything else, the fitness industry, the food industry, the coaching industry, everything gets bastardized. And my worry is that the breathwork industry is the same thing is going to happen, because this is something that has been practiced, as you touched on, for thousands of years, before us. So it's not a trend. I always try to say to people, it's not a trend. It's not something that, it's just, oh, look, it's just come by over the last 100. No, it's been around for thousands of years, especially with, with the yogis. It's primarily where it kind of all began. And of course, things naturally develop. This is the what's your because obviously you've done a lot of studying, you've obviously work, you work with the breath every single day, like myself. I love breathing. I always say to people, you want to discover your own medicine, you are the medicine cabinet. Everything you need is within you. The number one of the most powerful medicine cabinets that or medicines that you have is the breath. And you can even look at it as a perspective of It creates and it ends life. It's the first thing you do when you're born. It's the last thing you do when you go home. When you're out of this temporary experience, this is it. It's the last thing you take. And what's your with the way breath work is kind of going now, with the way things are leading, do you think it's a good thing, or do you worry that it may become another one of those industries where instead of it being for the benefit, it becomes more for the money?
I mean, that's gonna happen. That's just human nature. Like everything, it happens to everything. Everything gets commercialized. It happened to the mainstream music scene, it happened to the underground music scene, it happened to, anything, like even kombucha these days, right? Like, which was a grandma's like remedy for your health, is now turned into this carbonated, sugary, like processed, Coca-Cola. So it's gonna happen. It's like it's inevitable. But the thing with the breath is it's also like there's two different types of breath work. There's the where you do it to yourself, as in it's self-guided, or it's guided. So there's the therapy type with breath work, where you have somebody who guides you into a transformation, right? And then there's the instructional side, where you may learn some technique and then you do this every day as part of your routine on your own. So we cover both sides, okay? Now, with the functional stuff, if you don't teach the technique correctly, okay, if it's and that's why in yoga sometimes things are kept secret, right? If this is a reason why, because it gets commercialized and too many Prometheuses start to pop up, right? So maybe there's some wisdom to that. So with instructional, like that stuff, you've got to really understand how to do the technique correctly, because you can cause harm, right? Like especially if you're like doing breath holds, breathing techniques where you're doing fast breathing followed by holding breath, you can cause some damage if you do it the wrong way. Right, or if you're doing water and drown, for example, do that. So the instruction needs to be solid, has to be done right. And that's what I try and do in summer breath, is we have clear guidelines on instruction, how to do a technique. Now, what you're going to start seeing, especially on YouTube, because it's so easy to put up a YouTube video, is people will take certain techniques and then put them all together in a sequence that doesn't make any sense, just so they have a 5-minute YouTube video, right? That can get 100,000 views. Because when you breathe to it, you get a little bit high. But the reason why you get high is because of the hyperventilation for a short period. But that doesn't mean that's a good thing to do, right? Because hyperventilate, I told you, not breathing is better than breathing a lot. And hyperventilation causes all kinds of stress on the body, respiratory alkalosis if it's done for too long. So yes, there is a problem with that. I don't want this to go out too much on the mainstream, because then the powers that be will start shutting down breath work. Oh,
They're already trying to.
they
They're
are.
already trying to.
Really? Wow. So anyway, so that's really important, the functional breathing, the technique. So certification, train instructors who go through a deep process to know what they're doing is really important. Then you have the therapy side. Now, the therapy side is where it's very, very tricky, okay? Because what breath work can also be used for is releasing unresolved emotion and trauma, okay? And that's where it gets tricky, because now you're a therapist and you have the power over somebody else in a way to program and put suggestions into their operating system. That's a serious responsibility, okay? So it's like hypnotherapy on another level, like with power, okay? So the person who's doing it has to be super responsible, okay? And they need to really understand that they're also teaching the technique correctly to the person, and making sure they're doing it correctly and watching them and holding space, because they can also get re-traumatized, re-triggered. Because a lot of these breathwork techniques are help. The reason people go to them is to clear some old memory from the past that's affecting them now. So yeah, so if this is not done correctly, because it doesn't adhere to wisdom and principles, we're going to get problems on a main, on a big scale, because now breathwork is becoming really big. And that's where it gets dangerous, right? And in yoga, this started to happen, and you got Yoga Alliance formed, right? Which is this body to govern all yoga. But that body that formed, okay, unfortunately, they don't really teach proper yoga. They teach a mainstream bastardized version of yoga, right? Because true yoga is very different to the type of yoga you'll see in a mainstream yoga class, which is Yoga Alliance approved. I'm not sure if they've changed their curriculum since, but yoga asanas aren't supposed to be done where you just hold it for a few seconds and move on to the next. That's more like aerobics. Yoga is actually more of a static contraction exercise where you're holding each pose and even your breath, which each pose for long periods of time. And that actually is very difficult to teach in a 1 hour class because everyone's gonna have different lengths of time they're holding their pose. So what you wouldn't be able to take them through a sequence, okay, right, very easily. So maybe that's why Yoga Alliance modified it, right? But that's not true yoga. So what will probably happen with breathwork is there will be some body that will establish, and whether they actually understand breath work truly or not is a different story. Who knows? But quite often there's always a government that pops up somewhere that tries to control everything. What I've started to realize in my old age, I'm getting a bit wiser, is that life's too short. We should stop trying to control everything and make everybody safe. Because that's not like what the world's about. Not everyone needs to be safe and secure and put in a cage in a box, and spoon-fed. No, people need to figure things out, and getting in trouble sometimes is a good thing. It makes
Of
you
course it is.
stronger and wiser.
Yeah, well, it's the human
So
experience,
yeah,
right?
so I don't want to have too much controls. I don't care if it gets bastardized. We're doing our thing. The cream usually rises to the top. We've got a very respectful school. And I try and keep to a very clear system with our instructors to follow the right principles and really understand the science of why these things work, how they work, and what problem can arise as a result of not doing it correctly.
Beautiful. And I think it's important for people to know and understand that, to really understand the connection of the breath is something that is a must. We do it, unconsciously. But if you are going to consciously use your breath, make sure that you're doing it correctly. Where can people find you, Niraj?
The best place is actually go to my Instagram. Go to Niraj Naik Official. DM me the word breath, because I've talked a lot about different subjects here, but I haven't talked too much about breath work. But ultimately, you don't need to do a lot of it every day. But if you do the right amount, it can really add years to your life and just improve your general day-to-day routine. So what I've done is I've made this session, which is like 22 minutes long, which is a gives you a daily dose of these therapeutic breathing techniques in a sequence that makes you feel naturally high, happy, and healthy at the end of it. Okay, and if you go to Instagram, DM me breath, word breath, just it will follow me. It will ask you to follow me. And then you get a link automatically where you will get this free session, plus a bunch of free training as well on breath work. And then my book's coming out called Breath Works. And my book's gonna be like a very deep kind of deep dive into the science and the application of various different breathing exercises, breath work practices, especially with a root in traditional pranayama and tantric.
Beautiful. When is your book coming out?
It's going to come out in May.
May. Amazing. Well, let's get you back on to talk about the book. Let's dive deeper into the breath work as well, because I love breath work. I've been doing it for many, many years. I've had some incredible experiences, out of body experiences with
Yeah.
breath work. I've done a lot of healing around it as well. So
Cool.
it's a real powerful, really phenomenal form of not just healing, but awakening spiritual connection, you know, but one of the things that I found is that it does allow you to see past yourself. It
Yeah.
allows you to see that we are all one, regardless
Yeah.
to where we are, who we are, you know, we are all one, we are all connected. And as I kind of understood, we are God, you know, we are God. We're just a copy,
Yeah.
you know, we're a copy of the original creator that, you know, we're here having these incredible experiences. So any final words of wisdom? I always like to kind of ask this as a final one. For the listeners today.
Words of wisdom. So what you want to do, because I think a lot of the people who tune into your show may be suffering right now from some kind of health issue or addiction or anything like that, is like the biggest tip I got given, right, that really switched my thinking, and it's so simple, is, you know, addiction doesn't tend to just disappear, right? It's usually something that we have for the rest of our lives. It's a part of our personality, it's our character. It's also can be an amazing strength because it means we can go really deep and do something really well, right? And just focus on one thing really well. That's how you become a master, a genius. In fact, a lot of addicts are, well, a lot of the geniuses in the world are also addicts with different stuff. So, what my uncle told me was like, you know, because I had an alcohol problem when I was younger, was like, all you need to do is find something else to get intoxicated into that is good for you, right? And do that really well, because you're really good at doing one thing really well, right? So just transfer that skill to something that's a bit more sustainable. Find out what that is. And, you know, but my thing was music, so that's why I really went deep on. But then I also, same thing with the breath. I just transferred my ability to really focus and go deep and get obsessed with something to something that's now created an amazing community around the world, thriving business, beautiful family, living the dream in here in Ibiza. If I had just stuck to being really good at drinking beer, I wouldn't be here right now telling the story.
Incredible. And this is what I think a lot of people can take away from this. You know, often or not, you know, when we bring on guests and people who have succeeded and have done extremely well, you know, people seem to think, well, you know, that's not me. And I always challenge that in people. You know, everyone who's always listening is don't believe the bullshit in your head. You know, the brain has been designed to keep you alive. There is that part within you that is great, and there is greatness in every single one of us. You know, Niraj just said there, focus on that one thing that's gonna make you great. You know, and if you focus on it long enough, eventually you will get there, and it takes time. You know, we're also in a society, right, that tells us it's all about the quick win. You know, it's this quick hit of, you know, gratitude and gratification. You know, there's no delayed gratification now, especially the younger generation. You know, I have a son who's 26 and a daughter who's
Wow.
19. And I say to them both, delayed gratification. Keep putting the work in, build the things that you want to create, and start doing it now. Because by the time you get to my age, you're going to be 20 years ahead of me, you know? So, really,
You have to have fun doing it. Like, I think people think that doing the work is not fun. And that's what has to shift. If people want to be successful, they're going to make every piece of that journey to whatever result you want fun. It's got to feel like fun. Otherwise, you won't do it. And you can make it fun, because if your mission is great enough, right? If you've something really great you want to give back, then it's exciting to get on that journey and do the work, whatever it takes, right? Whether it's learning a new instrument or a software or how to run a business, you know, just the educational process.
Mm.
A lot of people get brainwashed into hating education because the school system sucks.
Yeah.
So people get fed up of learning and they don't want to learn anymore. But actually, when I got sick, and it was like a must rather than, you know, just a need, I actually then became obsessed with learning. I got addicted to that. And then when I realized actually that I can have a business where I can live from anywhere, I don't have to be stuck in a cubicle, I was like, that's it. I'm not going to stop until I learn how to do this and actually make that happen. You know, and too many people, they just sit in front of Netflix, right? Because they haven't woken up, they haven't had enough jolt to the system to wake them up to start being curious about other things. And that's just how information is filtered. We only tune into a certain amount of information at one time. You know, and everyone's perception filters are different, right? So I was lucky, I was very fortunate that I woke up. Now, if you're somebody who's been privileged enough to have that access, you know, like maybe you've bought a course, it's all about how to build an online business, but you still haven't even opened it yet, right? Like, until every day you don't take action on that, you're delaying the real gratification that you get of the result at the end of it, right? So you're delaying that gratification even more by not taking action every day. So action is the keyword in law of attraction.
Absolutely.
And one of the reasons why people don't have action, like the energy, is because they don't have the vitality, they don't have the energy. They're eating the wrong foods, they're not exercising, they're doing jobs they don't want to do, their soul's crushed. So they don't have that mojo. So you need to do something to fix the mojo. You need that vitality back. There's all these wellness practices you can do. But then you also need a flow. You need to have a super heightened state of flow. I call it a divine flow, which is a belief that there's a higher power guiding you, right? If you have that, most of the most successful people I know from billionaires to millionaires, they all have this belief, this crazy, weird belief that almost schizophrenic in nature, where they believe they're being channeled every day by something beyond them, right? And usually that comes with big ambition to do something great in the world, to leave this world better than before you came. So, you know, when you combine flow, that belief system, with mojo, you get flojo. That's all I'm all about, is getting
That's
to
it.
flojo, and then you have a really effortless life.
Perfect. And this is it. I think self-belief is something which people need to rebuild. You know, a lot of the things that we touched on today, you know, really makes a lot of sense. You know, really tune into these things, you know, doing the breath work every morning, you know, follow up with Niraj, go and connect with him. Drop that message to him and say breath so you can get the information from him. Start to put these things into practice. Start to understand, you know, the power of the breath. It doesn't have to be holotropic breathing. It doesn't have to be rebirthing. It doesn't have to be soma. It can just be meditative. You know, you can just connect with the breath just to be able to sit there in stillness. That's how it started for me. You know, there's a Buddhist monastery around the corner from my house. I just come into recovery. You know, this is 9 years ago and eight, yeah, but 8 years ago. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh God, I really need to go and have some therapy now. You know, you open up the can of worms, so to speak. And the monk in the monastery is a psychotherapist. I was like, brilliant. Kill two birds with one stone. And he started teaching me all of these things. Things start simply, you know, they start very simple. Niraj has just described all of these things, how easy it is. And one of the things I want to say, which I'd love to try and get your opinion on it, is we overcomplicate things, and things are only overcomplicated because of the energy that we're channeling. All of the things that we're channeling and receiving, as you mentioned, Netflix, processed foods, gossip. You know, anything that's negative, anger, resentment, frustration, whether you're pissed off at your boss or the government or, you know, the person that's just cut you up today or whatever it is, or you haven't got money in a bank. If you are constantly moaning and complaining, you're attracting more and more of that. And Arash touched about, you know, the law of attraction. One of the greatest things that I try to draw into people that I really want to get a message out, which you touched on today, is who we truly are, you know, and everything that we do is through energy. You said it there, millionaires, billionaires who know and understand that they're channeling information. You're not crazy. We all channel information. This isn't something that, is only privileged to, to the billionaires or to the special people or to the elites. This is why this information's coming out, people, is that you have this gift just like anybody else. The only thing that's missing are the pieces that Niraj has just described, and all of the people that we've spoken to before that talk about the same thing. If you've watched the previous episodes, as you're getting into this now, you will see the message is always the same. Do the right things for yourself in mind, breath work, meditation, gratitude, affirmation. Anything that's going to help you to change the way that the brain thinks and operates. These things are so important for you to start to change that machine. That's what the brain is. The brain's just a computer. People get worried about AI, but you are a much more powerful version of that, and you don't even know how powerful you are. But as soon as you start to connect with that, you'll understand. Then the body, look after this vessel. It's a temporary thing, but look after it. Learning how to use your breath properly. Don't overuse your breath. If you're overusing your breath, you're stressed, you're anxious, you go into depression. If you're not using it enough, you're not using it correctly. This is why the power of breath work is so important. Nutrition, sleep, hydration. I understand that some of you may be going through some issues at the moment and you need to take medication. But listen to some of these things. You're talking to someone here today who's a pharmacist, who is qualified to do these things, has changed his own mind, body, spirit, and is now going around the world teaching people how to do it naturally. And why does this scare people? Why does this scare some of these companies? Because it impacts their bottom line, their profit margins. But what it will do, which I believe, because I'm not about hurting anybody or crushing any business, what I am truly positive about is by people like Niraj, people, that speak up around these things that at the moment are being demonized, what we are actually doing is we're forcing these companies to do things differently. That's what we're trying to do, right? We're trying to get these companies to do things differently because the bottom line's never going to change. All you have to do is just shift it. Instead of selling people shit, sell people good things and they'll buy more of it. And this is where sometimes I struggle to see the mentality of, I don't like using the word, they're just individuals that own incredible businesses. And, at some point, we all try to do the work that we need to do. Sure, there are people out there that do real shitty things and they do try to control humanity, but it's not everyone. We understand that. But for those of you who are looking to change, who don't want to keep people sick, join the fight. Let's start to change things properly. Let's start to make things slightly different so we can actually help humanity to thrive, right? Because tell me whether you agree in this. The more humanity thrives, surely there's more opportunities for us to evolve, to create more abundance. I mean, there's 8 billion people on this planet, and we don't even occupy the whole planet. There is so much more space. So we're not running out of resources or space anytime soon. That's a myth. Because what we truly have is abundance. And as Niraj said, connect with that higher source, connect with everything that you truly are, understand who you truly are as a creator, because that's who you are. As Niraj described it, I'll make it simple if you didn't get it. You either create incredible things in your life or you continue to create the shit things in your life. You're creating them one way or another. But do the things that Niraj has described, change the energy. All you've got to do, it's almost like listening to a radio. Instead of it being a low vibrational radio that can't really hear what's going on, tune that vibration up, everything starts to change.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
Right?
that's right. Well, actually, the world's better, doing better than it has done for a long time.
It has.
We're actually in an age of more peace, more abundance, higher technological advancement, less disease, less famine. But there's factions. So there's the old establishment who don't like all this freedom of information and this ability for all humans to become equal in a certain level, you know, where power structures, the old ones aren't, you know, aren't as safe as they were. There's a battle of factions. There's one that wants to keep the old royal, you know, feudal system going. And then there's the new wave.
There's us creating chaos.
Yeah, and then there's us. Then there's us. There's a few different factions. Yeah, there's conspiracies within conspiracies.
Yes.
But listen, but ultimately, we're way better off than we were 100 years ago.
Oh, 100%. I agree. And I truly believe with the way things are going at the moment, you know, people like yourselves who, you know, with Soma and bringing these natural ways of healing and connecting, not just from a human perspective, but this stuff, I say it all the time, breath work will change your life, will change your life in so many ways, especially from a spiritual perspective, because I think that's where we're heading to. And some people may be scared of it. Some people may be worried about it. You have nothing to worry about. Everything that you discover about yourself is pure, unconditional love. And there are some roads and bumps and, you know, that we go along the way, but these are just things that we need to let go of in order to create greatness. And it's within all of us, right?
You got it.
Yeah. This is it. Well, listen, keep shining. Thank you so much, sir, for coming on today.
Thank you so much.
Absolute pleasure to have you here. Let's definitely, I would love to bring you back when the book's out. Let me know when it's out because I want to get it. I want to read it. And, you know, let's definitely bring you in and, you know, and promote it for sure. Listen, guys, connect with Niraj. I'm going to put all the details on there for Soma, for Niraj. Connect with him. Make sure you message him privately and say breath so he can send you over some more information about what these guys are doing. They're doing some incredible work globally. And keep shining. You know, keep shining, keep doing what you're doing. And I love you guys always. Have an amazing day, and I will see you on the next one. Take care.
Nice. Peace.
Thanks for listening. And if you want to find out more about how you can overcome issues caused by mental health, go to alexdasilva.co.uk. That's www.alexdasilva.co.uk. See you on the next one. Be great, be fantastic, and be absolutely phenomenal. Take care.